And welcome, everybody, to Off the Hook Overtime, where we are hopefully broadcasting over, what is it, YouTube? Yes, to the internet and the world and to history and all that kind of thing. Emmanuel, here in YouTube land. Kyle, are you here as well?
Hi.
How you doing?
Fine.
Rob, Gila, Alex, you all make it?
Yes, we are here.
And are we on YouTube, in fact?
We are.
Well, cool.
Okay. Volume, I think the volume seems a little bit low, but we are there.
How's this?
Whoa.
No, I don't want to blow out the equipment. We're just, well, you know, soft-spoken. Are we low, Kyle? Is there anything we could turn up?
We're fine. I can increase it. You want me to? Okay, I'll bump it a little bit.
Yeah. Feel free to talk, people. You know, this is it's a talk show.
Sorry, the delay is still waking me out a little bit.
We're listening to how we...
Well, don't listen in delay. Why are you listening in delay? Listen.
Well, and that's how we knew we were a little soft.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, you can look at levels, too.
Well, I'm glad we're all here.
Yes.
Thanks. Hi, Kyle.
How's the chat?
We've got 28 people with us so far. I would like to point out that, you know, we don't really technically open the chat until the show starts. I was gone for 1 week and everyone forgot everything. I would like to thank Rob for covering last week. I hope everybody was good to him. And
what do people forget if Rob was covering things?
Oh, how we roll?
How do we roll?
It's just not that difficult.
It's like, you know, we talk, people call us, and you know, we have a conversation.
All right, well, the chat's ready.
And Zap says he blew out his ears.
Well, you know, somebody said we were too soft, so that's what happens. All right, any further commentary without any language restrictions that we are subjected to on the radio? I like to say shit right away because my phone just ruined the game I was halfway through. I checked to see if there was any messages. You know, this is another reason not to have a phone by your side all the time. I don't want to know this final score. At least wait a little while. Wait a little while before you break it to everybody. You know, now what's the point of even watching the next half? Yeah, I know how it ends.
You know, there was a big announcement recently. You remember the old brand Commodore from...
I saw this.
The computer company? The computer. Commodore 64? I mean, kind of dimly remember them, yes.
Yeah, technically the company that's currently doing business under that name is not a direct descendant of the original Commodore because the trademarks and everything have gone through many hands over the years. But the folks who own it now just announced a new product. And this product is a flip phone. It is a dumb phone. Well, not a dumb phone because it's still smart, but it is a flip phone with the old 10-key keypad on it, and the outside has no screens. It's just a little digital display of the time. There are some LEDs that blink when you get certain kind of messages, and it has, according to this announcement, banned web browsers and social media, because it is meant to be a phone that takes you back to the way things were before the entire internet was in your pocket giving you agita. And the announcement has been going around, and, you know, the name Commodore certainly raises a lot of eyebrows around this. And the phone is hugely expensive. Their announced price is like something like over $500 for a phone that is significantly underpowered, no 5G. There is a screen on the inside, and it does have WhatsApp pre-installed. But they say other social media is banned and other web stuff is banned.
Why does WhatsApp always get a pass? I don't use WhatsApp, so I don't really know.
There have been speculation that it is because it is a European thing and WhatsApp is much more of a everyone uses it thing over there. So the idea is that it's a tiny little clamshell phone like the ones we used to have, but you know, with Android guts in it, you're not allowed to be as productive on it, but you're also not subjected to the fire hose of everything that's going on the goddamn net. So it's going to be very interesting to see if this succeeds or if things like this succeed. They're definitely aiming it toward younger people who are kind of over all this shit anyway. So we'll see how it goes.
I'd like one if anybody wants to gift us.
I signed up for the announcement list, but yeah, it's pretty cool. I like the confluence of different components, like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, stuff like that. And I agree with Rob, like seeing projects like this. I've seen them at other events, people using components that worked on other devices to build open or new devices that, you know, feature the best of those components, but aren't attached with all the manufacturers' built-in things that you would have had to settle for in owning it. So I think that's novel, and especially if you're introducing it to younger hackers that want to know how things work and want to, but you want to kind of, you know, steer them to the communicating part instead of the sort of antisocial consumption and like ad lock-in that we're kind of trying to avoid. I think it also had support for Signal, had a good camera. Great project. I'd love to see more projects like this.
The one thing that broke my heart about the announcement is the video that they used to announce this, full of AI slop. So, you know, they couldn't get the real animators or videographers to make them an ad. It is just such an AI slop-filled ad, and that is disappointing.
I didn't see that. I just saw it.
But to be clear, this company has no connection to the Commodore company.
No. It's just basically using a lot of the branding, and I think it also runs an emulator. It can play a bunch of the older games from that era. But this is a similar kind of spirit that other retro futuristic projects that have come about have done, is borrowing some of the older graphical interface or kind of remixing it into something based or at least inspired by the original products.
Interesting.
And you can swap out the battery on this, according to the specs. You can actually change out the battery, which is something we lost the ability to easily do in the smartphone era.
All right. Fun fact, the musical group, the Commodores, not one of them ever owned a Commodore 64. Think about that.
How do you know?
I looked it up.
Word up.
How do you think I know? I looked it up. That includes Lionel Richie, by the way. All right. What else? What else do we have? What's this? Okay, there's a story from Estonia we didn't have time for on the show. Who found this? Who wants to talk about it? Estonia is doing something really weird?
Ah, yes. The Estonia story. This came up on Bloomberg, and the title is Estonia to Grant AI Bots Digital IDs to Control Access. And this seems to be connected to a scheme where Estonia is assigning personal ID numbers to AI assistants in an effort to hold them accountable for things they do.
How? How do you hold AI accountable? Are they going to send them to jail or something if they do something bad?
You do not. There is absolutely no way to do what they've announced they're trying to do here. The Premier of Estonia, Kristen Michal, or Michal, said that it cannot be the case that a person is forced to give their AI assistant access to all of their rights, services, and data. Agents must have limited, controllable, and auditable authorizations. But the huge flaw in this seems to be that they are treating AI assistants as, like, entities that are doing any sort of choice-making or, you know, conscious deciding on what to do with things they have access to. An AI blob is not a person. An AI blob is not accountable for what it does. It doesn't hope to get better. It can't be disciplined. It can't get pissed off. It just runs programs. You know, it's just code. And this is like there is such an air about this announcement that is like, well, these are people now. We have to treat them like such, and it's kind of troubling.
Alex, go ahead.
Well, I think this is was one of the most fascinating stories. I'm sad that we didn't get to it on the air, because I think it's really, really neat in the sense of you have Estonia, which is this really forward-looking, digital-only nation. I mean, you can even get some kind of, like, digital identification from Estonia, even if you're not an Estonian citizen, and use it to register a company. And, you know, they've really gone all digital, and they use a lot of encryption tools and things. And so, you know, they are very much one of these early adopters of all these different types of tech. And I can understand the problem that they're trying to solve here, right? I mean, they're solving a very interesting problem where we know that all of these agents are going to be running around on behalf of all these people and have no accountability, right? And they're going way back. You can go back thousands of years to Roman law. And there's principles of Roman law that essentially say an agent working on your behalf is the actions, rather, of an agent working on your behalf, well, you're responsible for the actions of your agent, right? Agency law is a Roman law concept. It goes way, way, way back, right? So you're saying, look, if you've got these agents running amok on the Internet, we're going to issue some kind of identification to them. It's going to tie them back to whoever authorized that agent. We want to have that this become some kind of auditable log of their particular type of activity. Now, great. Okay, cool. Let's issue these agents IDs. Let's give them some kind of rights. And they're doing this essentially consistent with what we would know in the security community as least privilege, right? You don't want to give any kind of system or person more access to data than you would otherwise want them to have in order to be able to do their jobs, right? You shouldn't have to give your agentic AI access to your entire bank account in order to book a flight on your behalf, right? So they want these things to be properly scoped, properly audited, and properly trackable. The problem I have with it primarily is that they're solving all of this with what's essentially a centralized tool. They're centralizing this gigantic database of agents associated with people. And by centralizing that information, it's just like we were talking about with the age verification story. That's essentially a gating function to grant you or to deny you access to the Internet on the basis of your agents now. Right, so they're not going to be just tracking you. They're going to be tracking your agents and everything that your agents do. It becomes a tool of surveillance. It can be misused by the state. But primarily, I think what they're doing is already solving a problem that has been solved and doing it in a centralized way. I mean, really what they're looking for, what would solve this whole thing, right? And I know you guys will push back on this, but imagine if there was something like an append-only log, right? You could only add to it, and all of the data that was on this log was completely immutable. It could never be changed. So if something happens, you know, it's logged on this particular spreadsheet, right? And you can only add to it. And so only actions of an agent that can add to it, right, are placed on there. You can never delete what happens on this particular log, right? That's what they're asking for in terms of the auditability layer of this particular technology and what agents are doing. And we already have that. It's called the blockchain. No, except there's a huge difference here, though, in terms of sovereignty. Because if you have your name and your identity or your agent's identity stored on-chain, let's say issued by something, I don't know, like ENS, the Ethereum name service, right? So if I own alex.eth, agent.alex.eth becomes my subname, and I own it. It belongs only to me. Nobody could ever revoke access to that name. Nobody could ever change its permissions except me. So we already have this existing in a decentralized way across the world, and Estonia is just replicating this in a centralized fashion.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, I'm not going to push back on that because I just have so many hours in my life. But the coolest thing about Estonia, the top-level domain, you know what it is?
God, I should. Is it? No, it's not ET. That's Ethiopia. It's not ES. That's Spain.
I keep telling us all the ones that it's not. We'll get there.
It's not IS. That's yeah. Iceland. It's not MX. That's Mexico. It's not DE. That's Germany. Yeah.
Why would
it's
it
not
be not MX? In any world.
I'm just going to keep naming CCTLDs. Yeah. I have no idea. What is it?
Anyone? It's not EE.
Thank you. EE. Yes.
Oh, cool. EE. Cool. I like that.
Go ahead.
I'm apparently just going to be doing that for the entire rest of the evening. Also, did want to mention a couple of fun chime-ins from the chat. Sarah says, why doesn't Estonia just invite more people to move there? I know they're hurting for humans, but sheesh.
Yeah, we were just there. We were there in December. They tried to get us to stay.
See?
Yeah. They were very insistent.
I was thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if the AI agent decides to play a basketball game on one of those kiosk thingies?
How do you want an answer to that? That's, yeah.
I would love one. The thing I'm thinking about this though is, you know, if Gila here, you know, we have a very healthy household, you know, not violent at all, but if you decide to snap one day and strangle me with a scarf, no one's going to arrest the scarf. And so why is an AI agent being given its own accountability? If this is a tool that somebody is using, why is it not just the person using the tool who is accountable for any stupid thing this thing does?
What if it's a design flaw with the scarf and you weren't intended to be strangled? you know, you were strangled because it got caught in the doorknob or something. I don't know. I don't know why we're talking about this, but...
What if the scarf achieved sentience?
Or what if people kept claiming the scarf was sentient to keep a bubble going, but it was no such thing?
What if we open up the phone lines, get us out of all this?
I love this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it.
Yes, please.
Let's do it.
Our phone number, who wants to give it out?
You can reach us at U.S. phone number 802-321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK. It is up on your screen if you're watching us on YouTube now. And you can also get us toll-free at 833-755-2600 within the U.S. if that is your jam.
All right, and we're just going to wait for the phone to ring.
Or maybe for someone's AI agent to make the phone ring.
The phone is ringing, and we're going
to pick
it up.
We know who it is.
I'm sure we do. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we do, but yeah, why not? Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hold on. Hold on, Emmanuel.
Okay, he's already playing recordings before he even says hello to us, but I guess that saves time.
Okay, Emmanuel?
Yeah, I'm here. Obviously, I'm here. You don't have to...
Okay. I'd like to mention, just though we're talking about AI, I'd like to mention that you were talking about the things that, like... I lost my train of thought. Anyway, I've been noticing about AI that when you call something now, a customer service, they play background noise that it makes you think that you're in an office, and it's an AI thing.
Well, I wouldn't say it's an AI thing, Rebel. I think it's just something to give you the, what is the right word, verisimilitude, you know, the all the trappings of something real. That would happen a lot when do you remember, you probably got these calls from the political action committee seeking to raise money for police and
you know,
asking for your support. That was a classic one where you would hear the din and chatter in the background of somebody, and then it would stop and allow you to talk, and then it would respond. I don't know if that's necessarily AI. It was more just creating all of the trappings of it being an actual person. I think it predates AI.
They have sounds of people typing on a terminal. Listen to what I... this is Cherry. This is like a finance, like a lending company, I guess, like a pay buy now, pay later company. And this is what happens when you call them. Let's see if this will work.
Hello, this is Thomas, your personal virtual assistant. Thank you for calling Cherry today on a recorded line. How can I assist you today? Thanks for reaching out about your payment plan. Just to keep the account secure, could you share your date of birth or the last four digits of your social?
Hear the background noise? You may not be able to hear it.
Why aren't you talking to this guy? It's very rude.
Yeah, we can hear the background noise.
Thank you for letting me know. I'll do my best to assist you, regardless of any background noise.
He's doing his best.
When you're ready.
I'm ready.
Could you please share your data first?
Okay, but the point is, the point is that you know, you talk to, and there's no person to talk to. Now listen to what happens when you call. Remember the 9901 number? It's like 2-2-718-225-9901. It says, welcome to the Bayside Central Office of 5DSS or whatever. This is what happens now when you call any number plus a lot of numbers, not all, but
just
a lot
show
of
us.
Areas.
Show us what you're trying to demonstrate.
Yeah, we got it.
No, we get it, Rob.
Look, instead of giving you the central office of where it's located, this is what happens now. No.
Wow, fast, busy. That's fast.
Try again.
Yeah, let's see something strange.
Yes, 9901 used to tell you. It used to tell you what kind of switch you were using.
Let's do something else. I just worked before.
Uh huh. It always
works. And the exchanges.
Before. Yeah, it would tell you the exchanges of the local central office that you were calling.
Hello. We can help you find another business in the area. Since the number you called is not in service, I'll look for you now.
What the hell is that?
That's
noise.
Kind of
startling. That's what happens when you 229-9901.
Why?
It kind of sounds like typing, but it's not really typing. It's sort of like
it's like a
machine is doing something.
It's like a toddler banging on a keyboard.
But it
like
does.
When you call 9901, instead of giving you the central office, like President of the recording saying what central office you reach, that's what you have. And any disconnected number that you may call a lot of them, now you have that.
The question is, does it actually give you information if you ask for it?
Well, let's see if it does.
Ask it what central office it is.
Let Rebel work.
Hello. We can help you find another business in the area. Since the number you called is not in service, I'll look for you now. Press any key to continue.
I'll press zero.
It doesn't seem to be working. So, yeah, if it worked, it would be free information, wouldn't it? Because information costs money.
What happens if you press 1? I said it, press any key.
So any key,
zero.
You press any key. Yeah, any key should work.
Yeah, I press 0. Maybe I'll press 1. Let's try that.
Yeah, let's go through the whole keyboard.
I'll look for you now.
If 1 doesn't work, then I'm not going to, you know.
Press any key to continue. Are you looking to save money on your cable or internet services? Connect today to compare rates from cable and satellite providers in your area. Press the star key now to stay connected. This call may be recorded and or monitored for quality assurance purposes.
No, I dialed 718-229-9901.
Thank you for calling. Press 4 to continue. Press 4 to continue.
I mean, it hangs up on you.
Did you press 4?
Oh, it's 4?
Wasn't that what I was asking you to do?
No, star.
Oh, star. I don't know. I can't read that dialect.
All right, you know what? I'm going to have to see. All right.
Hello.
I don't think star. Let's try this again. All right.
Since the number you called is not in service, I'll look for you now. Press any key to continue.
I press 1.
Again, press any key to continue.
I press 1 again.
I'm not hearing a 1.
Goodbye.
Rebel, you fucked up. What the hell? You're supposed to press 1. That's all you had to do.
Maybe you have to wait till she stops talking.
Yeah, maybe. For once, wait till somebody stops talking before you override them with touch tones and voice.
Since the number you called is not in service, I'll look for you now.
God, I hate this.
Press any key to continue.
Okay, I'll press 1. There.
Are you looking to save money on your cable or internet services? Connect today to compare rates from cable and satellite providers in your area. Press the star key now to disconnect.
The star key.
All right. Press the, as the star key?
This call may be recorded and or monitored for quality assurance purposes.
All right.
For customer service or billing questions, press 1. To speak with an agent about new cable, satellite, or internet service, press 2.
I'll press 2.
For all other inquiries, this call may be recorded.
Press 2.
Thank you for calling. Better Internet starts here. If you're calling to check out new internet service options from different providers, please use your keypad to enter your zip code now.
All right, I'll enter my zip code.
We are connecting you to a Civation specialist now. If you are calling for anything other than getting new service, please hang up now and call your current provider. Thank you.
How many phone calls has this thing made?
Thank you for calling. A sales specialist will help you in less than 30 seconds.
We have great promotions to help you save money on internet, TV, and
mobile. So this is when I called 9901. So,
well, let's see where this goes.
What are the current promotions in your area?
I don't think this is like Time Warner cable or a Spectrum.
I don't think it's any
like
cable, but we're a few seconds away.
I have great promotions to help you save money on internet, TV, and mobile wireless plans. You'll be connected to an agent shortly to determine what are the current promotions in your area.
But you said within 30 seconds.
I think it's been past 30 seconds.
Why does it sound so crappy? My God.
Why?
It sounds awful. It sounds so crappy.
I don't know. That's the thing. Hold on. Oh, there's another announcement.
Mobile wireless plans. You will be connected to an agent shortly to determine what are the current promotions in your area.
Rebel, I don't think this is ever going to go to anything. I don't know what the purpose of it is, but it seems to be to keep people occupied while something else is going on. This is insane. It's just disconnecting me. Connect you to one shitty phone call after another, and it never ends.
I'm not going to bother with that. I mean, but that's what happens when you call a number that's disconnected now, that only been had that recorded. The number you were...
Why, if you're calling a 9901 number, why would you be looking for a particular business? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Any number that's disconnected, like if a business closes and they disconnect their phone number, you don't get the number. The number you have reached, 751-260, has been changed or whatever, or disconnected.
Stop making that noise. All right, Rebel, so here's your assignment. Thank you. Now you get him doing it. Rebel, your assignment is to further research this, and next time you call, give us information above and beyond what we already have heard here. You think you can do that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. I'm glad you have that kind of confidence.
And a really good impression of that sound.
I did call this number before, and you get somebody in India that... you know,
that's what I was going to say. You're going to get, like, someone work from home, like, their cell phone rings, and they're going to sell you more, like, I guess, modems
or
something.
The goal here is to have a charge show up on your credit card from calling that 9901 number. Can you do that?
Oh, I don't think that's going to happen. I'll just call from, New York City Link kiosk or something.
And you can watch the game while you're doing it.
Yes, and charge it to Mondano.
Yeah. And you're also getting texts. I'm getting a text right now from area code 57178.
Don't give out a phone number to somebody texting you. You don't know the circumstances behind that.
It's like telemarketing texts. So why not?
Because we don't violate the privacy of telemarketers here.
All right. It's just area code 571-781 number.
Okay. Wow. That's a real legitimate exchange there. 571 area code. Imagine growing up in the 571 area code.
All right. I'll tell you where it is.
You know, here's something I thought of recently. You know how people identify themselves by the area code they come from. In fact, you know, even rappers do that sometimes. You know, I'm from the 818, or you know, various. We've all heard this, right? I'm not crazy. Everyone's looking at me.
Right, yeah, I've heard that.
Yes.
All right. But now area codes don't necessarily mean geography anymore, because you carry it on your cell phone, because you can have portability and get the same phone number follow you around for life. So it doesn't mean anything anymore. But you know what does mean something? The first three digits of your zip code. Why does nobody use that to identify themselves? You know? Yes, Gila.
We have had a few people in the chat mention a few things.
Wait, you're just going to ignore my question? Okay, fine.
Yeah, sorry.
Typical, typical.
Yeah, usually yes. Okay, so Beans points out that this could be a spoofed caller ID. And that is also something to keep in mind. Also, I think we're losing the people.
But someone did say that Rebel should do a Twitch live stream doing this stuff for many hours. Have you looked into that, Rebel? Doing some sort of webcast?
I don't have the Twitch live stream. I don't even know how to get on that. I mean, it's something to consider. I don't know.
All right. Well, that's another thing to look into. But please give us more information on this as you learn more information. And not the same information again in a week. So thank you for calling. We will say goodnight. Now our phone number for everybody else, 802-321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK if you have letters on your phone keypad.
Also, if I could jump in with something about the previous conversation we were having. This note from our buddy Luke came in literally right when Rebel started talking, so I didn't get a chance to share it. But talking about why to assign ID numbers to the AI agents to be able to trace it back to the person who prompted it.
Right.
Which I
isn't that what we said, though? That's what those ID numbers were for, to have some accountability for the AI agent.
Yeah, I kind of understood it when we were describing it as a way to tag it and give it some attribution mm-hmm. to whoever prompted that agent or is actually benefiting from that agent's activities. And I think there's parallels in corporate structure and governance. There is a call, though. We are
okay, let's take the call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
The Commodore phone is a piece of bullshit.
Okay, go on.
Hi, Lou.
That's a strong statement.
Excuse me, you're not allowed to dox me.
Sorry. My apologies, caller.
How different is it from the Trump phone? I mean, it's basically a third party, and they're hiring a third party to produce these things and just put the Commodore brand onto it. Which is exactly the same thing as the Trump phone is.
Yeah, we saw. I mean, I'm thinking of Polaroid. You know, a lot of like things that were produced after that, just with the brand when the company's not as active. So yeah, and I didn't know. I wasn't aware of the cost or anything. I just heard about the possibility of a product like this.
Wasn't the Trump phone like just sort of hastily put together because they did.
They found.
They said that there's no guarantee that you'll ever get the Trump phone. Everybody got pissed off, and then 2 weeks later, everybody got a Trump phone.
Yep. Talking about the Trump phone.
Go ahead.
Sorry, talking about the Trump phone, I just want to shout out the site iFixit that got hold of one, tore it apart, and confirmed that it is a rebranded HTC U24 Pro. So, you know, just a regular garbage Android phone you could get anywhere, but it's been painted gold and sold to rubes.
How much is an actual Commodore 64?
I don't know, around $500 to $600 MSRP.
Okay, you don't know, but that's what you're thinking, so... Okay. Wait, an actual retro computer or this new product?
Oh, no. Well, I can look at it right here on the website. But the Commodore 64 originally cost $500 to $600 at launch. The street price definitely went down on that. But, I mean, if you're referring to getting the Commodore 64 computer, the original one, on secondhand sites like eBay, it's around... $30 to $50, I got mine for free.
Wow. So there you have it.
But how is it that Commodore 64s don't cost a fortune if they're, you know, so old and retro and classic?
Because they were widely produced? Is that true? I don't know. Somebody's going to have to...
They're one of the most popular microcomputers on the face of the earth. There's so many of them out there.
So why I get a VW micro bus. Why can't I get that for cheap? They're very popular, too. And they were everywhere. It's the same damn thing.
Well, the market moves in strange ways, but... Listen, I've got a Commodore 64 right behind me, and the 1541 disk drive, the original one. They both were made around 1984. I spent time, you know, cleaning them up, doing repairs on them, and even installing new modifications to them to make them work even better. And I had to pay a lot less. I had to pay practically no money to do this. I mean, I didn't pay for any of those. I got them for free because somebody was throwing them out. But let's see.
So does your Commodore 64 work?
Yes.
Wow. We should do something with it.
I invite you all to write your programs for it.
We could run a BBS, you know, something like that.
That is true. I do want to assemble a cartridge for it called WIC64 that will allow it to connect to Wi-Fi and go on the internet and hop on IRC chats. It's a pretty cool thing that the German hackers have done.
We should get a Commodore 64, Kyle. We really should have one for the office.
Yeah, well, there's a ever-increasing collection. I think that a lot of collectors and people that are interested in old hardware and stuff that's fun to play with, and they reach limits to the capacity of what they can have. But just to use it in that way, as a modern communications tool, that's a great idea. And I think a lot of people like the simplicity.
You guys want a fun fact about Commodore 64s? I have one. And 2600. Okay. Anybody recall the first issue of 2600 when it came out? Anybody?
That was 1984, wasn't it?
1984, Rob gets that correct, yes. No. Month, perhaps? Do you want to give a month?
Oh, I don't know the month.
September.
Why would we start something in September, Alex?
Because you're absurd.
Wait, I'm not the one doing it. You're the one saying I did it.
Wait, was it February 1984?
No, when do you start something in a new year?
September.
No, definitely. Not September. No.
That's when school years start.
Yeah, but I'm not
that's
a school. We weren't a school.
Good point,
we were a damn magazine.
That's when my culture starts our new year.
Oh, we have lost our way.
We can't get through a single conversation without like running into all kinds of roadblocks.
Caller, do you have any other comments?
I'm just trying to say one interesting thing here. A wild guess as to what month in 1984 2600 started. Can anybody... answer that question.
Was it January?
January. Thank you, Rob. Boy, was that so hard. All right. January 1984. Did anybody remember what was the headline of the first issue of 8.5x11 2600 back then? And I recognize this might be difficult, and if people don't know, they don't know, and I'll tell you.
Is it about the Commodore 64?
No, it's not about the Commodore 64.
That was going to be my guess.
Ahoy?
Wait, say that again.
Ahoy?
You're right. You're right. Oh. Ahoy with an exclamation point. Now, here's the fun fact. Ahoy with an exclamation point was a computer magazine for the Commodore 64 that started publishing in January 1984. So the very month that we put out the first issue of 2600 with the big letters Ahoy, there's this other magazine that comes out and does the same damn thing. And that has been the environment we've been living in ever since. Is somebody doing it bigger and getting more attention while we're struggling just to, you know, be recognized somewhere? But we're still here, and they're not.
Yeah, beware, we transcend.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that crazy rag that ripped off 2600 called Blacklisted 411 that basically, reprinted all the articles? And
that
things?
Was
that
funny.
Was unbelievable.
Well, not only did they reprint articles, they used the exact same style, the exact same size. They even used the same wording in ads that we ran to get people to write articles and letters and things like that. They used the same fonts, the same basic layout. The thing that, that bugged me about that, you know, okay, fine, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, whatever. People just bought it with 2600. They didn't differentiate. Like, this is real, this is a copy. And it just, you know, we got kind of lumped in. And then they came out with a second magazine called the Hacker Underground Digest, or Thud. Thud. And it started ripping off the first one. They were ripping themselves off, and people were then buying three magazines. And I'm like, what's wrong? What? Come on, read them. Look at them. You'll see a difference.
If I remember correctly, too, and I may be wrong about this, but I feel like they disappeared after taking a bunch of subscription money for subscriptions they were never fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
And that got a lot of people pissed off.
I think that happened twice. Actually, it happened, I think, three times, because it was linked to another magazine in the mid-1970s called Tell, which was trying to get mixed up with Tap, which was an actual magazine that came out for a bunch of years before 2600. So, actually, no, you know what? I'm mixing things up. There was another magazine called CompuTel. Yeah, and we did an expose on it in our first issues. CompuTel was a magazine that ripped people off that was related to a magazine called Tell from about 10 years earlier. And that had nothing to do with what we were talking about just now. Yes, a little bit of history there.
Any questions? That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I did have one question, actually.
Go ahead.
About these magazines and the people who disappeared. Was Professor Harold Hill the publisher of either of these magazines?
Who the hell is that? You okay there,
Dylan? What do you talk?
Oh, my God.
Are you going to say, do you really not know who that is? And I'm going to say, yes, I don't know who that is. Really? And that's going to go on for a while?
Oh, Emmanuel, no. Harold Hill is the main character of The Music Man.
He's a what? He's a what?
He's a music man, and he sells clarinets to the kids in the town.
Who the hell is The Music Man? I don't know what The Music Man is.
It's a classic American musical.
Well, I kind of guessed that, but I still don't know it.
It's about a man who...
A huckster salesman.
A huckster salesman who travels to small towns as like a traveling salesman and says, hey, we're going to start a band. Give me money so we can buy instruments and uniforms and shit for your kids. And then he skips town before the first concert.
So he's Mr. Tambourine Man.
Play a song for me.
Or is he Mr. Bojangles? You know, those two were totally different people.
Yes.
I didn't know
that. They were in the same room, though.
Yeah. Okay, so...
You should watch The Music Man, though, E.
So much spare time. That's exactly what I'm going to do right after the show.
We are trying to maintain, Gila, I got to say. So back off. You know, take a number, chill pill, whatever you need. We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, put it on your list.
We just caught up with The Shy last night, so, you know, we got to rest.
Yeah, they snuck in an extra season.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, this is a funny story. Another fun fact here. The Shy is a good show. It's on Showtime. But Showtime changed its name. So I have a DVR on my cable system, and it was set to record The Shy whenever it had new episodes. Except it didn't record an entire season because Showtime changed its name to Paramount Plus with Showtime or Showtime with Paramount Plus or whatever. And because it changed its name, the DVR didn't catch the season. And so when I found out there were new episodes of The Shy, which, by the way, is spelled C-H-I, I discovered that I didn't know what the hell was going on because I had missed an entire season. The entire season had gone by, and I wasn't even aware of it. And I wonder how many other people missed entire seasons of their programs because the network changed its name. Yeah, think about that.
So, yeah, that's why. Mm-hmm. That's why we missed Shy.
Yeah, but we're caught up now, so that's the good news.
Excellent. Do we still have that caller?
We do.
I think they might have dozed off.
No, I'm right here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
okay.
they're hanging out.
Any final thoughts from you before we move on to yet another caller?
I mean, thank you for making me aware of the bootleg magazines. I mean, seeing three of those in the store, you know, one is for personal reading, another one is for the archive, and another one is for friends, you know? You can get three. Buy three.
That's the other thing. They latched on to our distributors. And the only comfort there was our distributor ripped us off for a huge amount of money, but they also ripped them off for a huge amount of money. So there's some comfort in that.
We got to start recording. We got to get this, like, on camera and just set up a nice little... Now, you know what? Maybe from a rooftop? I don't know what the setting would be. What? You know what? I'll think about composition, but
you gotta
tell these stories on tape because there's so many. You could go on and on. Caller, seriously, is there absolutely... Have we... Yeah, I know. We could continue going, but we don't want to leave you hanging. Do you have anything else that caught your eye this week or that you want to let people know about?
Well, I just wanted to finish my thought about Commodore. As I've said, I've got the Commodore stuff behind me. And, well, since this is old equipment that's about 40 years old, of course I had to do repairs. I had to rebuild the power supply.
I was going to say power supply and...
Well,
the only thing I rebuilt, the other thing I did is, I had to do a bunch of repairs to the disk drive. I also replaced the kernel ROMs with Jiffy DOS to improve the performance of that. But a lot of that, it was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot about this particular system and how it works and vintage computing in general. But now we've seen that the Commodore all the trademarks have been bought by this one guy from YouTube, Retro Recipes, if I remember correctly. And he's got this nice, I mean, they've got a nice website, you know, on its homepage. I think they've even got endorsement from, who is it, the son of Jack Trammell. What's his name? Is his name Jason?
Not sure, but go on.
I can't find it, but...
Leonard. His name is Leonard.
Thank you very much, Gila. I appreciate
it. You're welcome. Absolutely.
Yeah, anyone else want to look up? Gila's the person to ask.
He really is.
Yeah. It's Doxing Central here.
It's on the website.
You dox the caller. Now you dox this poor Leonard guy.
Well, I mean, it's critical, you know, critical analysis of whatever this product is and the way the branding is being used. So I think it's a fair review.
I don't agree with how the branding is used. It's this is not Commodore, okay? I really think they should have just let this brand die 30 years ago. It doesn't need to be resurrected and turned into something that it totally is not, run by people who were never, ever even associated with the original company. You know, the Trammells.
What about even running the games?
No.
Yeah, okay.
It's a LARP.
I see your point.
They are LARPing.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for your thoughts and for the memories. And we'll continue this conversation.
Yeah, keep building stuff and messing around with those systems, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy anything from them. This is not good.
Okay.
Don't buy the Commodore 64 Ultimate. Just get an old one. Come on. You'll learn a lot more that way.
All right. We're going to try to do that. We're going to try and get an old Commodore 64. That'd be kind of cool.
I will. Yes, we'll do that tonight.
Hey, you guys, check out the Hope website recently, hope.net. We have a bunch of speakers that we have announced. We also have organizations like Freedom of the Press Foundation, the Electronic Frontier Foundation. We've got speakers from ProPublica. We've got Tiffany Rad. We've got Cindy Cohn from the EFF. All kinds of, and that's just a small smattering of people that we have had. Distributed Denial of Secrets. If you go to hope.net, you'll see a handful of confirmed talks. You're going to see more starting tomorrow. We're going to start listing details on talks. And
just popped up when I went to the website.
There you go. See, I'm not kidding. It's there. It's all there.
No, it's very true.
And we need people to help spread the word because we suck at publicity, if you can't tell. So hope.net. Hope is taking place August 14th through 16th. And it'll be at the New Yorker Hotel, which is on 8th Avenue and 34th Street, which is a pretty busy place. It's right in the middle of Midtown. But, you know, it costs a small fortune to have events at a place like that. So we need people to support the conference. Please support us. Hope.net.
Not an inconsequential task that we have in front of us as a group.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it really is. You know, every bit of it is what will make it happen. So yeah, look forward to more of the content and activities surrounding the event in the weeks ahead, as a lot of it is going to be getting underway.
And you can support us by buying a ticket to the conference, buying a virtual ticket if you can't make it to the conference, becoming a sponsor of the conference. There's all kinds of information on how to do that, making a tax-deductible donation to Hope on Planet Earth, the nonprofit wing. And we would basically appreciate every bit of support that we can get so we can continue doing this every year. We'd love to do this every year, but we can't just do it on good intentions and lots of hard work like we're putting in. We need to have support out there. It's 2 months away. It's a little less than 2 months away, actually. And if we're going to be able to have a decent setup, we need to be able to invest now in purchasing what we have to have. So hope.net, all the information is there. Any questions, you can always write to us, oth@2600.com.
And again, every little bit of mentioning or sharing some of the links or announcements that we make, it really goes a long way in the sort of environment. We're not, you know, creating a bunch of ad campaigns or, you know, taking over Link NYC terminals. We wouldn't dare.
I believe commandeering is the word.
We certainly wouldn't pay to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But in seriousness, please tell a friend, tell a few. Your networks really help our network. And I think that's always been how we get the word out, is word of mouth and sharing in our groups. And it's actually a fallback for an environment that, unless you really have a huge amount of different outlets that you're paying or channeling your message through, that fallback is really the best plan, actually. But for us, it's always been the way we get to our little slice of an audience and a community that's out there. So if you can help share, that helps us take a look at what we can actually plan to do and what kind of show we produce.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. You're going to be blown away by the speakers we have, by the workshops we have, by the activities, and just by the location. You know, this is the hotel that Nikola Tesla lived and died in, it's quite a fascinating part of Manhattan, and it's just great to be in Manhattan again. Again, August 14th through 16th, hope.net, Hackers on Planet Earth. It's what it's all about. Gila, go ahead.
Yes, we just had a couple of quick questions from people.
There is a phone call. There is a phone call, too.
Oh, okay. Someone asked, if you submitted a talk, when will you find out if it's accepted?
Well, people are finding out now. Not everybody has found out yet, because we're basically assembling the schedule, and it takes a period of weeks. Everybody will hear something at some point. But even if your talk is not accepted, doesn't mean you can't give the talk, because we have the unscheduled track. And all that is basically the ability to sign up when you're there and give your talk in a different room. So if you're there before other people, as far as signing up for a particular time slot, you can still give your talk. So we make that opportunity available to lots of people. But again, you know, we've gotten more talks, I think, this time than 2018 was the last time we had that many talks. And that was when we were in Manhattan last. So it seems to have something to do with being in Manhattan, which is great. We have a lot more enthusiasm. We need that enthusiasm to translate into ticket sales, though, because that has not happened yet. We've gotten more speakers than ever before. We've gotten all kinds of workshop submissions. We've gotten contacts from people we haven't heard from in decades sometimes, people who are excited that we're back in Manhattan. And that is great. And that, you know, it shows that there is so much positivity.
We've had early interest
towards doing this.
Yeah, early interest in sponsorships,
right,
as well, and we want to gather more of those.
But
vendors,
we need the ticket sales in order to be able to do the event. That is just a fact. That is what has to happen. And if you can't make it in person, we understand people can't make it in person. Please support us with a virtual ticket. You know, they're a lot cheaper, and you can interact with the conference from wherever you happen to be. If you want to see Hope continue, that is what we need. That is just the reality of the situation. So hopefully we get an influx. Yes, that would be nice.
Yes.
All right, so Kyle, you said we had a phone call. What are you pointing at?
Yeah, was that all the questions?
Yeah, that's what we got for now.
Okay. And good evening. You're on All for the Health Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello. My government said I'm not allowed to talk to you.
Hi, Zap. How you doing? I can tell you're imitating a voice from a mile away.
Yeah, well, you know me and my funny voices. But you mentioned the UK, so I had to phone in.
Oh, yes, the UK with their 16 and under ban.
Yeah, that was Zap's under 16 voice. You're not allowed to talk to us, all right.
Yeah, trying to sound like a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. I mean, I don't have children, and they always say the argument is, oh, you'll understand if you have children. But the kids are just going to get round it, or like Rob said, they're just going to be driven underground to sort of some nefarious, dodgy, more dodgy sites than what they already know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's obvious. It's, you know, the Labour Party trying to save themselves, I think, in this particular case.
Yeah, well, I don't think Keir Starmer's got long to go because there's going to be a challenge for leadership soon.
He's the only one that doesn't seem to know that.
Yeah, well, you know.
So how have you been?
Still not good. I'll update you when I'm getting better, but I'm slowly improving.
Okay.
But on a side note, I'm waiting for the Sinclair ZX Spectrum phone to come out. I'm a Specky fan, diehard Sinclair fan. And,
now we're talking.
Favorite machine is, yeah, ZX81. I was talking to someone on the chat, and they're reminiscing about the old Sinclair machines.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll be a smart pager or something.
It's going to be a brick if it's going to be nostalgic.
Yeah, yeah. Just hanging off your belt.
Do pagers still work? Does anyone have a pager?
If you set up a station and run that frequency, yeah, you could probably make one light up. But I don't know. They might run for specific jobs.
I have a beeper somewhere. I'm going to put a AA battery in it and see what happens.
I bet it's still used for... Don't like surgeons use them?
In fact, I have an old OmniPoint phone here from the 1990s that I haven't turned on in decades.
Yeah.
Never throw any electronics out. Never.
Yeah, old hardware.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think pagers are still working in the UK. But it's mainly for rescue crews and hospitals and doctors. But it's been a while since I checked. If you do some pager decoding, the old FogSec and Flex.
Yeah, I think it's just that the average person wouldn't be seeking a plan like that. It's an unusual way to communicate, so it's less prevalent. We're less aware because there's so many other options for communication.
But it was so much fun when pagers existed. Like I've said, the POGSAC monitoring, being able to just see what people were saying, what numbers they were sending across. It was a lot of mischief. It was all sent in the clear if you tune into the right frequencies.
Yeah. Another thing, are you guys watching The Sucker?
Yes, I think we might have alluded to that at some point.
Yes, we've seen a few football matches.
Yeah, they're playing a bunch of them.
That's better, football, yeah. It reminds me of Cheshire Capitalist.
Yeah, he was big into that. In fact, he was involved at some point.
Yeah, he said it's a way to communicate. At least you've got a common topic to talk about.
There are more countries in FIFA than in the UN. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're both...
Been watching a few of the games?
I've been watching... I'm having all in the background as I'm doing work.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
Have you seen some, or have you gone to any, public watch parties or anything?
I've been sort of keeping an eye on the games. There's, three countries I'm sort of rooting for.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I already know what happened with England and Croatia because my phone ratted it out to me.
Well,
so you can go ahead and ruin that game because it's already ruined.
But who do you like? What do you think?
Well, I have three choices. I watched the Spanish game, I watched the Austrian game, and I watched, of course, the English game.
Okay.
So those are the three teams I'm going for. I'm trying to think. Cape Verde played a very good game. Their goalkeeper did a massive
job. He was amazing. That goaltender, unbelievable.
Incredible, yeah.
Even though I was supporting Spain, but, you know, respect to the man.
Yeah.
40-year-old, he got a million, followers on Instagram or something after that.
Yeah, it was like 50,000, and then it turned into over a million after the game. But, you know, Spain's going to be okay. They're going to make it out of the group. Not a problem. But seeing a country like that shine, you just imagine what's going on back home. It's just the most incredible thing. Similar to DR Congo today, you know, it's just... getting a goal against Portugal, holding them to a draw, that's amazing. That is history.
That is good.
Yeah.
That is good.
I love that.
But yeah, we did well in the English game. That was quite impressive.
Uh-huh. I like how, there was a penalty shot for the English, and he missed, so they got to take it again. And he got it the second time.
Yeah, Croatia was robbed, but for the record, I think the goalie moved off his line, and so he was allowed to retake it. But
Fine, okay.
In the end, even if they didn't have that goal, I don't want to spoil it for you, man.
No, I know the score. My phone told me everything. But okay,
people listening might not know the score.
Lionel Messi with a hat trick in a 3-0 victory. That was amazing right there. I really like Messi. So much more than Ronaldo. I don't like Ronaldo at all. Messi, I really respect.
Yes, much more affable.
Right. And the other thing I've come to realize is that I'm really getting old because I don't really recognize any of the English players because
uh-huh.
I don't like football. I don't actually watch football normally,
uh-huh.
but I do watch the competitions like the World Cup and the Euros.
Yeah, me too. I'm the same way. I don't follow it. During the season, I'm more fascinated by the whole system. I mean, over there in England, you've got an amazing system. You've got the Premier League, then the Championship, then League One and Two below that. But it keeps going. You have like 16 leagues that do promotion and relegation every year. Three teams go up a league, three teams go down a league. So it's possible for Manchester United to be 16 leagues down if they really suck. And it's also possible for a team that's made up of people who work at a gas station to go up to the top and become champions. It doesn't happen, but it's possible.
Yeah, I'm still confused. I'm not too sure when we're meant to go rioting and looting. Is it when we win or when we lose?
Now, you know, any time. It's open. That's, you know, that's like here in the States, you know, that you can riot whenever you feel the need.
Yeah, well, we're famous for our football hooligans, but I don't know if they realize that the Americans have guns. They get shot. So hopefully they'll behave. But well done for the Scots, back into the game after about 28 years.
It's so cool seeing them just having the time of their lives in Boston, and it's perfect for them.
I'm not surprised they drunk the place dry. I mean, we tend to do that, the British, the UK, you know, we like to drink.
How is Boston not prepared for that?
No. The supply is on the way. They're going to handle this. There's plenty of beer in America.
What's incredible, though, is that the Algerian team was training in Kansas, and there were all these Algerian-Americans who live in Kansas. And that's beautiful right there to see that happen, to see all these people of Algerian descent in the middle of the country having the time of their lives following the team that they are behind.
Yeah. Anyway, I suppose I better go, but I'll speak to you soon if I have a topic to talk about. So if you mention the UK, I normally ring in.
And then we'll keep mentioning the UK.
Always welcome.
Yes. Good hearing from you.
I don't want to become like Rebel phoning up every week. It just gets too much.
You could never be like Rebel. Don't worry about that. And Rebel, you could never be like Zap, so don't you worry about that.
I do love Rebel. I did actually meet him in 97, was the first time.
Uh-huh.
He is a character.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And he's well known in the UK, London 2600. People have heard of Rebel.
Uh-huh.
So he's famous internationally.
He is. He travels internationally, too, so you may definitely cross paths at some point.
I was just going to say, he'll show up.
Yeah, before you know it.
All right. Okay, I'll go. So, bye, everyone, and I'll speak to you soon. Take care.
Bye. And I'm sure the people in Signal Land say bye, too. They're all
they're there. They're nodding.
It's always nice to hear from them.
Guys can talk whenever you want, you know. It's just right there.
I've been chiming in.
Mm.
But yeah, that was fun.
I think that's going to do it for calls tonight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're tired and we're taking a bunch so far.
Well, we got a lot of good info out there, a lot of discussion. So please feel free to write us, as we said on the radio, oth@2600.com.
If you're going to the Knicks parade, you should be in line now, I'm told, because otherwise you might somehow miss it. Let's all get out there, right?
I mean, yeah. I feel like the best way to catch it is probably going to be on TV.
Uh-huh.
And keep leaking things and hacking things and blowing the whistle and sounding the alarm, because people are listening.
And no one else is going to do it. Wow, you people are tired. Okay, we're going to go.
Well, you know, we were just trying to prove you're right. You said no one else is going to do it, and no one else did.
No one else is going to do it. Okay.
That's right.
We will see you next week, everybody, on the radio, and hopefully on overtime as well. Again, write to us, oth@2600.com. And I guess that dog barking means that it's over. Our time is up. Good night.